another episode of What Part of the Game Is That? Today we're going to be contacting Africa. And our episode today is Black Women in Africa Reaching Out to Black Women Worldwide. So we have Margaret on the line. Margaret, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Outstanding, outstanding. So, Margaret, tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, where you're from, and that sort of thing. Let us get familiar with you.
Okay, thank you. I'm Margaret Nyangweso Bishasha from Africa, Kenya. More specifically in Kenya, I'm in the western part of Kenya, and my town is Kakamega. Yeah.
Kakamega. And tell us a little bit about your town.
My town, Kakamega, is a humble town. We are all the same, no rich, no poor people. We are all on the same level. That's Kakamega. We love visitors. It's a well-developed town. Yeah.
That's interesting. You said we're all the same.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, by the term the same, what I mean is, when you come to Kakamega, whether you are poor or you are rich, you are treated on the same level.
And what about housing?
Housing is affordable to everyone. And also, that's in urban, but in rural, actually, we don't pay housing. You build your own home, you go to farm your own farmland, you produce your own goods, your own food, you get it. But above the urban, it's affordable, yeah.
So, you produce your own food, you grow your own vegetables.
Yeah. You'll eat fresh vegetables from the farm.
So let me ask you a question. Wait a minute now. So you're saying everyone there has a farm?
Yeah.
Everyone has a farm.
Yeah, as long as you are in the rural areas, you have a piece of land where you can farm your own goods. You can produce at least something small you can put on the table. But for those who live in the urban centers, they don't farm in the urban centers, actually. We only farm in rural areas.
Oh, and you live in a rural area?
Yeah, like right now I'm in rural.
Okay.
Basically known as Africa, it's known as Ushago.
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
Can you pronounce that word? Rural areas in Africa, more specifically in Kenya, is commonly known as Ushago. Can you pronounce that?
Rushago? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. You're good.
Okay. Well, that was a close one. Don't try that again.
I won't.
Okay, so if you live in the rural areas, you have a farm. Now, the people that live in the rural areas compared to the people that live, I guess, in the city, how are you financially? Are you more financially well off because you have land, or are the people in the city more financially well off because they can afford apartments or housing in the city? Which one is, you know, more well off?
Actually, talking of being well off, people in urban areas or cities, they'll have to buy everything. They'll have that money, yes, but they'll have to purchase everything. But people from rural, they might have a little, but they won't go purchasing everything because they can produce their own goods from the farms, you see. So life in rural is much better compared to life in the city.
Okay, so you say it's much better, and I can understand from that perspective how it's much better. But my question is, in terms of finances, in terms of money, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that people in the city may have a larger bank account than people in the rural areas? Or would you say people in the rural areas have a larger bank account because they spend less money? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Actually, people in rural areas will have less bank capital as compared to urban, because urban, when you talk of employment and everything, you can get money faster, and so you'll have a lot of money as compared when you're in rural areas. Yeah.
So even though you're spending less because you're cultivating your own food, you don't have that amount of income to have a large bank account, but it works out well for you, or it works out for you, let's say, put it that way, it works out for you because you're growing your own food and you're cultivating and you have your own land, so it's not as, you don't have to spend as much, right?
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Now, let me ask you, so living, having the farm and living on the in the rural areas, how do you make money out there?
Actually, in rural areas, most of the money people get from the goods they can cultivate, when they, after the goods have reached their maturity stage, they'll be taken to the market, and that's how they'll get their cash from there. The little you get, that's the amount of money you'll have. If you get much, that's the amount of money you'll have.
Oh, okay, so your farm is your job as well as your business. So if, I guess if you have enough land, you can actually have a pretty nice bank account.
Yeah, and also if your products are good, you'll have pretty good bank accounts.
Nice, nice. And what type of things do you grow on your farm?
Okay, on our farm, there's sugar cane. Do you know sugar cane?
Yes.
Yeah, there's maize.
Maize?
Yeah, sweet potatoes.
Okay.
There's groundnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all types of vegetables, sort of kales. Yeah, even bananas, they're grown there. Actually, they're just varieties of goods. Yeah.
Nice, nice. And in terms of meat, do you eat meat?
Yeah.
And what types of meat do you eat? I guess you have your own animals as well, right?
Yeah, we do.
And what kind of animals do you have?
We have cows.
Mm-hmm.
We have chicken.
Mm-hmm.
We have pork.
Mm-hmm.
We have also sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are the one red most in this side of the country.
Wow. Now, that's interesting. So, how often, just out of curiosity, I'm just trying to get a feel of what it's like living on a farm. I've never seen a farm. I've never been to a farm, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been to what we call a zoo, you know. That's, I guess that's about as close as we get to a farm. Or let's say as close as I would get to a farm, I've been to a zoo. I'm a city person all my life. So, yeah, so living on a farm, you're only allowed, I guess, to kill the animals once they reach maturity, right? So this way you can, you know, have more and more animals.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you pay taxes?
On farms, no. This is my land. I own it, so I don't need to pay tax. Unless if I'm taking out the goods on the market, is when I'll pay the tax. But when I just have the goods on my farm, when I just, like, I slaughter a chicken, I want to eat it in my house, I won't pay for that chicken. It's mine.
What about when you take the food to the market, you're operating at that point as a business, right? It's a business, or
when it's reached to a business point, I'll have now to pay the tax, because now it's not again on my farm. It's something I'm doing to get some cash. Now I just have to pay the tax for that, because no longer on my farm again. It's on the market now.
Oh, okay. And what percentage of taxes do you pay to do business?
It all just depends on the kind of business. There is a 6% business tax. There is a 12%. It actually depends.
Okay.
But the maximum, I think, is 12.5%.
Interesting. What is the primary language where you live?
Where I live?
Yes. What is your primary language? Swahili?
Yeah. Swahili is our common language, which everyone can understand. Okay. Not only where I live, but also in Kenya as a whole, Swahili and English.
Oh, Swahili and English. And where you live, it's ruled by who? It's governed by what country?
Okay. Can I say, were they British that govern Kenya? So in Kenya, we are not like a given area like Western, they have their own leader, not really. Mm-hmm. We all, like as a country, we are ruled by the president, who is the head of the state. Then from there, we go to the county, they are called counties. So when I tell you from this county, like for me, it's Kakamega County, you get it? So mm-hmm. It's governed by a governor.
Yeah, and it's a British rule. It falls all the way back to Great Britain, British rule.
Yeah, actually, it's from the British. So, in our country, we are governed by a president who is one person and is the head of the state.
Nice, nice. So, do you have on your farm, living in rural areas, in a rural area, do you have access to... Well, obviously, you do have access to running water because you have a farm, but do you have electricity? Do you have, what kind of utilities do you have where you live? What are you lacking, and what type of things would you wish you had to make life easier for you?
Actually, let me talk in terms of electricity, something like electricity. Electricity, for someone to have electricity on his or her own farm, it all depends with your capability. Are you able to have that? It's, some people have, some doesn't have, like they lack money to do their wiring and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Some maybe the process still in the ongoing, and some they already have such a like facilities. Talk of water is not necessarily like you'll go and have this water from the urban. So we have sort of wells, boreholes, streams, you know. So it's something that we have. Yeah, it's something that we can access easily. And also including now that it's a rainy season, some can also harvest the water from the rain, you know. It still can be used on the farm. So,
nice, yeah. Nice. So you have ways of getting water without an issue because you're close to streams and you have your wells, so forth and so on. So it's easy to water your plants or you cultivate your farm and so forth and so on, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and... in terms of electricity, you have to be able to afford to have the wiring. What percentage of people in Kenya are able to afford electricity?
I can say like 90%, because with the new government we have, they had this system of bringing electricity to people's farm, which they called Tima Mashinani. It's a Swahili word.
Okay.
Don't bother about it. It's called Stima Mashinani. They made sure everyone in the rural area at least can get access to the electricity under a lower cost.
Oh.
So I can to 90% of people in Kenya, they can get access to electricity.
Oh, interesting. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And in terms of access to places outside of Africa, you know, in terms of communicating with other countries and that sort of, you know, that sort of thing, like communicating with America, and is that difficult for you? Is it, I mean, I know we're talking right now, but we have to use a certain platform in order to communicate, because
yeah,
a direct dial is extremely expensive. So what I'm getting at here is, what is your access like to, let's say, computers or, you know, contacting people in other countries? Do you have, I remember back in the days, they used to have these phone cards where you use these phone cards and you get minutes and you add minutes to your phone and that sort of thing. So what is it like to have a computer and to be able to access different websites and communicate with other parts of the world?
Actually, if we talk on in terms of electronics such as computers, phones, and everything, I can say access to it in Africa, more specifically in Kenya, mm-hmm, it's not that hard. We can literally access it. Actually, we are moving to a digital world.
Nice.
Everything is evolving to a digital world. So we can access them with ease. But now communicating to people outside is a little bit harder, despite the fact that we have the electronics, the gadgets with us. You get, like, if I want to call anyone more so outside Africa, let me not talk even outside Kenya, because if I say Kenya, there are those countries in Africa. Yeah, so outside Africa, it's a little bit expensive. Like, if you can't direct call from someone in Africa and to anyone in UK, anyone in Germany, you can't do that direct call.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to improvise a way, like you have to look for a platform you can communicate with people, like WhatsApp, then you'll mm-hmm communicate with people outside Africa. So it's a little bit harder,
mm-hmm,
despite the fact that we can access to the gadgets. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, let's say, I guess you wouldn't do much of this being that you live on a farm, but let's just say you want to go out. Or what is your nightlife like? Do you, you know, do you go to beauty salons? Do you go down to the city and get your hair done and nails done? Or is that something you just don't do? Or what is that life like?
Oh, that life of love. Let me talk about myself. Like, I want to make myself look beautiful. Mm-hmm. I have to make my hair, make my nails. It's something we do, but it's not necessarily we go to city, to towns. No, even our local markets can offer that. So even you can get someone just like your relative or someone close to you here in Mashinani, I can say, who can do that to you at a lower cost, at a cheaper price, as mm-hmm compared to the city. Because if I say to go and do my beauty, my therapy, that's making my nails, making my hair in the city, it's very expensive.
Oh, okay.
So I prefer to go to my local markets where I can get access easily and do my thing and get my nails done at a cheaper price. So it's not hard.
And what about entertainment?
Entertainment, I can get entertainment even on my local markets, or I can even entertain myself Like, if I want to watch a movie, I can just do it from my house. Now that I have my computer, I have my television, I have the electricity, I have my phone. So I can get access to all entertainments I want just inside my house. Not necessarily, I can.
Okay. Do you have shows and like theaters and that sort of thing, concerts? Do entertainers from the United States, do they come to Kenya to do concerts and shows? And is it expensive? And are you able to go see things like that? What is that like?
Okay, actually, yeah. There are live concerts, there are shows, everything. It's the movies. And it's not expensive. It all just depends with the type of person or the type of entertainment you're going to get. Let's talk of a musician. A Kenyan musician hosting an entertainment in Kenya will not be that expensive as compared to a musician from Tanzania, a musician from Uganda. You see, those are our neighboring countries, Uganda, Tanzania. If I talk of musician, like, let me use, I don't know which type of musician you know. Can I use Diamond, I think? Have you ever heard of him?
No. How about Akon or Seal?
Yeah, let me talk like a person like that. When he comes in Kenya, his ticket will be somehow expensive. Because they'll include the traveling costs and everything, the expenses this person has taken. So we will have to compensate that in our tickets. So the tickets will be a little bit expensive. But when it's a Kenyan musician, the tickets will be a little bit cheaper. So entertainment just depends with the kind of entertainment and the person. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a rich community out there where celebrities live?
Celebrity life. Yeah, there's actually it's not a community. So in Kenya, we'll talk in terms of a person individually. It's not a community. Like you can get almost, we are in Kenya, there are 47 tribes. And in each tribe, at least there is a celebrity. There is someone who is rich than others. So we can't talk in terms of community, like specific community, these communities of rich people. No, actually, we talk of in terms of individuals.
Oh, I see, I see. And what about medical? What is medical like? What are the hospitals like? What is getting medication and diseases? Do you have good medical there, or you work with the best thing you have, or are you constantly seeking doctors from other countries to come in assist? Do you have medication? Do you have good medication? So what is that like?
Okay, in terms of health, that is medication. In Kenya, I can say we are at least well off, according to the government we have in Kenya. We have medical practitioners who are good, who are well educated, but also we still have other medical practitioners from outside country who are working with the Kenyan government. Let's talk of like the Canadian nurses who came in Kenya, who had a contract, 5 years contract in Kenya. So if you talk in such a terms, you'll see we try all means to improve on medical issue in Kenya, but I can't say we have bad medication in Kenya. No, our medication and our health and everything is at 80% when rated, not bad.
Okay, that's not bad. And what about diseases? Is Kenya high on things like AIDS or COVID or these sort of things, or is it minimal, or is it what is that like over there?
Okay, actually I can't say it's high because with our research institutes, that is KEMRI, it's our research institute in Kenya, so when such a disease strikes, the institute has the mandate to make sure to find a way to control it, to prevent it from spreading. So we can't say the diseases doesn't strike in Kenya. They do. But immediately after they have striked Kenya, the institute, that is Cambry, will immediately look for the best way to prevent the disease from spreading and also to look for the cure of the disease. So when we talk of something like AIDS, AIDS is not curable, as we all know, but the spread of AIDS in Kenya is not that rampant because it has been bound. It has been the best methods to control it from spreading has been found. So we can say it is there, yes, but it's not spreading that fast.
Okay, that sounds similar to where we are. And the education, what is education like? Do you have good schools? Are the schools equipped with computers? Are the teachers good? Do you have school buildings, school houses? How does that work?
Yeah, actually, education, when it comes to education in Kenya, I can say the education system in Kenya is not that bad. Actually, even the, so there's, I don't know how I can put this, but computers, yeah, they're in schools. So there's the primary education, there's the pre-primary education, primary education, secondary education, and the tertiary education. So even the kids in the pre-primary education, they are being introduced on how to use sort of the laptops, iPads. So they are being introduced into the digital life. But in the primary, secondary, and tertiary, actually, they have already been introduced to the digital life. So I can say the education system in Kenya is not bad. Yeah, it's the best.
Okay, now, is that for the people that live in the city or for all the people in the farms as well as the city?
At first, it was for the people in the city, but now it's for everyone. As long as you're living in Kenya, you are going to a Kenyan school, a school in Kenya, be it in rural, be it in urban, everything is equal.
Nice, nice. Now, one other question. Do you have a lot of people... Do you get a lot of people to move to Kenya from places like the United States and other countries?
Yeah, we get people. Yeah, people do come in Kenya. Let me talk of that's in term of tourists now. In Kenya, we'll call it tourists. Yeah, we do get many tourists. In fact, it's one of the most field that has more income to the Kenyan government, the tourism. So we do get people from, be it in Africa, outside Africa, who always come to Kenya.
Nice, nice. So always, people do tour there a lot, and they also come there to move to live in Kenya.
Yeah, some come to live and do their businesses in Kenya. Some just come for sometime like vacations and go back to their countries. And because if you have to come to Kenya, you have to acquire the nationality in Kenya, you know, the Kenyan nationality. That you have to stay for 5 years for you to acquire the Kenyan nationality, you see.
Oh, for at least 5 years. Now, earlier you mentioned something about tribes and different tribes.
Yeah.
I know some tribes, and I don't know if I'm, for lack of a better word for me, I may be a little prehistoric in this, but I do remember hearing some tribes was like ruthless. You know, if they catch you there and you're from someplace else, you know, you get kidnapped or sort of things. You know, that sort of thing. Is that what goes on with the tribes out there in Kenya? I also heard that, you know, they will attack different people and take their land and that sort of thing. Are you experiencing or hearing anything like that?
Yeah, that's in Kenya. We call it raiding.
Raiding.
The conflicts between tribes, one tribe with the other. And it's not that it happens like all over Kenya. It's actually, I can say, like 3 tribes that had that problem of raiding. You get people from this tribe, the neighboring tribe, they start a fight with their neighbors. The process is some people lose their lands, some people lose their horses, less stock of cattle, you know. Some people even lose their eyes trying to fight for what is theirs. Wow. Theirs. It's happened, but it's not in large population, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, let me ask you, if you had the power of God and you can change anything in Africa or anything around the world, what would you change to make Kenya better?
What I could change to make Kenya better? The spirit of corruption. Actually, that's what brings Kenya like behind into the third world countries, you know. Mm-hmm. Kenya has everything. Kenya has the power to do anything. Like, when it comes to land, Kenya has the most fertile land to produce this. When it comes to facilities, when it comes to, like, everything, Kenya has the best, I can say. But now that the spirit of corruption also is the... it's very high in Kenya. So if I can change the spirit of corruption in people in Kenya to make my country better, I'll do it.
Nice, nice. Good point. I like that. I like that.
Thank you.
And let me ask you, if you were to communicate with other black women around the world, I did a little research and I know so many women and black women and black men as well, but this topic is based on black women. So I know that, you know, there are blacks in so many different parts of the world. If you had the ability to communicate and a platform to communicate and talk with these other black women around the world, would that be of interest to you?
Yeah, it will be a great interest to me, because if I can communicate to the black women across the world, if I can talk to them in one way or the other, I think if I was to be given that chance, or if I was to get that opportunity, I'll love to do it, and I'll love to do it with a great passion, because I'll have a lot to tell those women outside there, and here in Africa, I'll have a lot to tell them.
Let me ask you, do you experience any racism or any issues with being downgraded as a woman, or do women have the ability to be more than just a housewife? Is that open to you, or do you see a ceiling, something that's stopping you from progressing or doing more or having your own business or that sort of thing? Is there anything that, you know, holds you back in any sort of way in terms of feminism or anything along those lines?
Yeah, actually, it's something rampant. Gender equality, it's something that has been given, like, can I say, people in Africa see women as they can't do anything. And if they go in terms of gender, women are being denied of a lot of opportunities. You know, they believe, like, in Africa, they believe a woman was meant to be a housewife. The purpose of a woman in Africa is to take care of children, sire children, take care of them, that's all. So they don't think a woman can lead. And if I can say, a woman is the best leader. If they were just to be given an opportunity to lead, in fact, they'll be the best.
Why do you feel a woman would be the best leader?
You know, a woman is, if a woman can raise a child, from childhood until adulthood without any help. Let me talk of just example, like single mother, they can raise their own children, you see. So what everyone in this country is like, some is in fact not even like, is someone's child. And if a mother can raise these children all alone, what about these other children? Give a woman the power of becoming, like, for example, a Kenyan president. I tell you, this woman will rule the country in terms of, he will not be ruling people, he'll be ruling her children. He'll rule the country like, these are my children, let me show them the direction, you see. She won't be ruthless. She won't be heartless. You know, a heart of a woman is a strong heart. Yeah. So, actually,
a lot of opportunity. I've heard that before, and you know, I agree with you to a degree. I don't know if I could say that they would be better, but I feel that, you know, women present a different perspective in governing, and who knows whether or not their perspective would be better or worse, but there are a lot of intelligent women out there, and I think that they should be given the opportunity. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any women in politics?
Okay, in Kenya, the opposition party of the government, you know, we have the government and the opposition party.
Right.
So the opposition party, the deputy of the opposition is a woman, actually. In fact, she's a strong woman. I love that woman. She is a strong woman.
What is her name?
So I guess her name is Martha Karua.
Okay.
Yeah. She is the deputy of the opposition. Mm-hmm. And another country in Africa that is being ruled by a woman is the Tanzania. Tanzanians are being ruled by a woman. President Suluhu. She's a woman. And nice. That country, I can say they have the best president. I love that woman also. Yeah.
Nice. You have to send us a link to these women, so we can put them in the on the episode, so other people can read about them and find out more about these black women in politics and presidents and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
I was thinking when me and you came up with the idea of this episode that it would also be a great idea for women in Africa to get in touch with other black women around the world, because I think each side has so much to offer in terms of even like doing business. I know a lot of black women would love some of the styles and the clothes that you have out there and the artwork, you know, and we would love to have it here, but we don't want a knockoff version. We don't want something made in China that represents or looks like something that was done in Africa. To be honest, I think we would like the real McCoy. We would like the real deal. You know what I mean? I would love to have different statues in my house from Africa, the real thing imported from Africa. You know what I mean?
And I know, I understand.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that by us doing this podcast that, you know, it allows other black women to respond to this episode and, you know, make an offer, a suggestion as to how black women in Africa and how black women in other parts of the world can link together and grow and share in culture and ways of life and cooking and food and things that you do and so forth and so on. And I know we read books and that sort of thing, but I just feel it's a little bit different when you hear it directly from the source. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's Yeah, I understand. I get it.
Yeah, I don't want someone else's interpretation about how to cook African food, you know?
Yeah.
I want to hear it from the woman that cooks it every day. And sometimes we go to restaurants here, and I don't know why, but sometimes these restaurants, the food is, it's like it's been Americanized of some sort. Like it's, you know, it's slightly
it's
different.
Not like, yeah, it's not pure Africa. The Africanism in it is disappearing in one way, you know.
Right, exactly. And I want to hold on to that, you know. I like to hold on to that, and I would like to see, you know, since this episode again is about Black women, I would like to see, you know, Black women around the world come together and, you know, share in these experiences. I would love it. I was doing a little research, and I saw something about Black. Black people, let's say, Black people in Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I say Black people in Mexico, I know we have dark-skinned people all around the world. But these Blacks was a little bit different. So there's two types of Blacks that you might have. Mm-hmm. There's the type that's born into the culture with dark skin, and then there's the type that has migrated into the culture. Okay?
Yeah.
So in Mexico, you have a group that has actually migrated from the United States, and they were actually from Africa and came to the United States as slaves. And they fought in some wars in the United States. And then they migrated over to Mexico, where they began to inherit the culture of the Mexicans. So you have Africans that have transitioned to, I guess, a Mexican lifestyle now. And, you know, they're actually Afro-Mexicans or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, it's interesting because the people of Mexico, they respect them because they came to help them in wars and that sort of thing. And they even said some of the artillery that was used by those Africans in the war resembled a lot like the tools and the weapons used in Africa, because they, you know, that's what they knew. And this is what sparked that, you know, that thing in my mind that said, you know, we need to get out and we need to learn more about different Black women and living in different cultures in different parts of the world and share those experiences. And those Black women that are actually Africans that have migrated into Mexico, I think their culinary skills now are more Mexican than it is actually African.
That's true.
You know, and well, and I guess it's because of the access of herbs and ingredients that they might have. So, you know, but it's, you know, it's interesting. It's great for the children to learn directly from someone in Africa what it's like. And, you know, if a teenager or a high school student wants to communicate with you, they're more than welcome to, you know, leave a voicemail message on the podcast, which is 212-718-0330. And you'll be listening to these responses and responding back to them. And hopefully you can, you know, create some sort of pen pal and network, and you guys can share ideas between each other, which would be great. And It was great having you, Margaret, and I loved what we covered. You taught us a lot about what's going on in Africa, and it's a real pleasure to get to know you and get to know what your culture's like and what it is to what it's like to live in Africa. And we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure also talking about my country, talking about our lifestyle here in Africa. In fact, it's the best experience someone can ever want to have. And I'm very much willing and available to talk more and more about my people in Africa, about our culture, and even to teach you. Yeah, it was very, I'm very much humbled on this opportunity as an African woman.
Nice.
I'm ready to share more and more with you guys.
Nice.
You can leave your comments.
One last question before you go. Have you ever been outside of Africa? To another country?
Sorry?
To any other country, like the United States or anywhere else?
I personally have never been outside from Africa. I was born in Africa, raised in Africa up to now, but I love and I always admire to get to go outside Africa, and I'll one day visit some country, most of the United States, the UK. It's my dream country, and I'll visit there someday.
Nice. Oh, so you prefer to visit UK over United States?
Sorry?
I'm messing with you. No, my question was, did you prefer to visit the UK over United States?
Both of them.
Okay.
I said both.
Yeah, we would love to have you and show you around. So, if you ever get chance, or maybe you might, you know, connect with someone that will be listening to our podcast. We're on many, many different platforms, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on more than 10, 15 different platforms, and we're in 5 out of the 7 continents. And we're working on communicating, connecting with people in Australia and more so in South America. Everywhere else, we have touch bases. And so you will have people from around the world, you know, listening to this episode. And once again, thank you so much, Margaret. And we appreciate you being on and spending your time with us today. Take care.
Okay, welcome, and you too.
Okay, this is your pod host, OG Goat, and we're signing off.